This is The State of Things. I'm Isaac Davey Aronson in for Frank Stacio. The music of Whitney Houston is a staple of Valentine's Day radio airplay. But, of course, there's no doubt Houston's romantic tunes will be in even heavier rotation this year as fans continue to mourn the singer's sudden death. Tributes to the pop star are pouring in from all over the world. This weekend's Grammy Awards paid homage to Houston with prayers and performance. And a fountain in Dubai has been programmed to spout water to the melody of Houston's biggest hit, I Will Always Love You. Here in Durham, Joe Bushfan is remembering Whitney Houston for her incomparable talent as a vocalist, but also for her generosity toward him. Joe worked for many years as a bodyguard for Houston's ex-husband, Bobby Brown, and got to know the singer during his time on the road with the couple. Joe Bushfan is now the owner of Joe's Diner on Angier Avenue in Durham. He joins us in the studio today to talk about the Whitney Houston he knew on and off stage. Welcome to the program, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, guy?
Thanks for being here. When did you first meet Whitney Houston?
I met Whitney back in 92 when Bobby had promised to come back and get me, and they flew me out to L.A., and I met her in Hotel Bel Air in Beverly Hills.
And were you a fan of hers already when you met her?
Yeah, I was a fan of hers, big fan.
Because she had her debut album, I guess, in 1985, so she was already pretty big.
Yeah, already established, yeah.
Now, you grew up with Bobby Brown, Houston's former husband, and you worked for him as a bodyguard since his days in the boy band New Edition.
Yeah, that's correct.
And what was the relationship between Whitney and Bobby like when they first got together?
It was like harmony. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better relationship between the two. Very comical. I was just at an awe when they first flew me out, and I just couldn't believe it, you know.
Do you remember a moment from that, like from that flight out, or from that first seeing them together like that?
Yeah. Well, Tommy, his brother, picked me up at the airport, and then we headed straight to Hotel Bel Air, and I've never seen anything of that magnitude, you know. And then to see Bobby and then give him love when I seen him, then he said, oh, this is my wife, you know, and I'm like, wow, you know. Yeah, so.
And you and Bobby grew up in a poor area of Boston, yeah?
Yeah, we grew up in Roxbury in Orchard Park.
Now, how well did you get to know Whitney Houston by working for Bobby Brown?
Well, she was very big on protecting her husband and had specifics when I was out with him, you know. So she was, like, giving me directives for him, you know. So when I've got directives from her, it's like coming from the top.
Right.
You know,
so she was concerned about about his security and had a hand in that.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
So you provided security for them while Whitney Houston was filming the box office hit, the Bodyguard, of course, co-starring Kevin Costner. And what do you remember about being behind the scenes on that movie?
I wasn't necessarily on that set with the movie because we were still with Bobby, mm-hmm. you know. But I remember the premiere, and he was kind of iffy about us going to the premiere. He said, "Man, I want y'all to like stand back on the premiere." But it was pretty interesting, you know, because a lot of stuff was going on.
Meaning what?
Just he was putting together a tour, and then she had that going on, you know, with the Bodyguard and everything. So, you know,
I have to ask if it was odd to be a bodyguard for them and then have this film being made called The Bodyguard that was all about a bodyguard.
I found it kind of it was kind of interesting, you know, at the time, yeah.
You know, you've said that that Bobby was actually a little bit jealous maybe about watching Whitney on screen with Kevin Costner.
Yeah. He was just concerned, you know, and it's just any husband would be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
We played a bit of I Will Always Love You, which is from the soundtrack of The Bodyguard. And, of course, that became Whitney Houston's signature song.
Mm-hmm.
But it was originally written by another diva of a completely different style, Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
Do you know, I mean, was it challenging for Whitney to adapt that to an R&B audience from a country song?
That was a lot of synergy and energy she had to put into that song. I guess it was done in E-flat, and she really had to put a lot of emphasis into that. So, You know, but for her, it was like effortless, even though it looks hard for anybody else. But once she got a hold of that piece, that was it, you know.
You know, I've seen Dolly Parton sing that song, and now whenever she sings it, she mentions that Whitney Houston made it really famous, and then she thanks Whitney Houston for all the royalties.
Now they've gone through the roof.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Apparently, I mean, record stores certainly around here and everywhere are being sold out now of Whitney's albums over the last couple of days. And now you've said Whitney was really a kind-hearted and generous person. What do you remember about her sense of generosity?
I remember her when I first, like I said, when in the Beverly Hills Hotel, and she was just as sweet. And I mean, her voice had such clarity that you was like, look at her straight in the eye, and it was, her eyes had so much clarity in it, and it was like you couldn't believe. I'm sitting here talking to this beautiful woman, you know, and it's like she was like, her voice was so crisp. I mean, unbelievable.
And this is her speaking voice.
This is her speaking voice. You know, I'm sitting there like, you know, but you just be out of awe with it, you know.
And she took you shopping. Is that right?
Yeah. She she goes, I got to take you shopping. And I'm like, what? She says, yeah, we're getting ready to do the MTV Awards, and we're getting ready to do the red carpet and all this stuff. And that was my first time ever even doing anything of that magnitude. And so she said, we're going to take you shopping. And they took me shopping to Beverly Hills Mall. And we went into some store, and she was just taking suits and balling them up, throwing them on the table. And I'm looking at these suits. The suits are like $2,000 and $2,500 and $1,200, $1,300. And I'm like, she said, don't worry about it.
Huh.
You
wow.
know? Yeah.
Do you still have any of those suits?
No, I outgrew them. I got bigger. You know.
You know, as the couple's bodyguard, I mean, you had the chance, of course, to witness how fans responded to Whitney Houston. Any memorable moments from the road involving her admirers?
Let me see. I remember taking her shopping one time, and she wore the disguise, like, you know, and it was just like she wanted to get some type of makeup or something, and when the lady came to the counter, she just became frantic and was like, oh my God, it's Whitney Houston. And the whole mall just like, boom, just like, so I had to put her behind the counter because she was pregnant.
Oh.
And she said, don't worry about it, babe. We got it. We're going to take care of this. And she signed the autographs. And after that, the mall security has helped me get her out and everything. But everywhere she went, it was like a landslide of people, you know.
And there was a time, I think, you were running late for a flight, and the crew held the plane. Is that right?
We had just come from seeing Mike Tyson up in Indianapolis. He was in prison, and we had did a show that night, and then they stayed the next morning. Went to go see Mike, and then we was late for the flight, and they stopped the flight and brought us out and put her on the plane. Mm-hmm. It was unbelievable. I'm sitting there like, anybody else, their plane would have been done just like, see you later, you know.
You know, in looking back over her career today, in you know, in preparation for our conversation, I was just struck by, I mean, Whitney Houston won literally hundreds of awards. I mean, she's really just one of the most acclaimed performers of all time, and she still holds records in certain sales and hit categories, and you know, so you joined them less than a decade after her debut. What was it like for her and Bobby Brown, I guess, to be in the midst of that kind of skyrocketing fame?
It was awesome, I tell you. You have a lot of divas out here today, but there's only one, and she worked hard at it, and she was the best at it. And I tell you, this: you have your Alicia Keys, you have your Jennifer Hudson's, you have your Beyoncé's, but there's only one Whitney Houston.
Mm.
You know.
I want to listen to a little bit more music. While they were married, Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston were well known for expressing their love for one another in the public eye, in music, and they recorded this duet called Something in Common in 1993.
Yep.
That's Something in Common, a duet with Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston, 1993. Of course, you know, they also had a volatile relationship, and that eventually ended in divorce. I wondered if you saw in your time with them, did you see that evolution happening? Do you have any insight into what happened?
No, I've never seen any of that happening. It was like just they had the best love for each other. You know, I never even seen that coming. You know, so
interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, of course, she talked, you know, she gave this an interview to Oprah in 2009, in which she talked a lot about the problems that they had. But of course, those may have all, you know, happened after the time that you were with them in the early 90s. I understand that song, Something in Common, is one of your favorite Whitney Houston tunes. Why is that?
Because Bobby always thought of himself as an entertainer, but you could take Whitney, who has a voice like she has, and she could take you or I and make us sound just like that record, like how that Bobby was singing with that, We Have Something in Common. She can make it, she can make up the difference, you know. Trust me, she can make up the difference. And he was like, I'm an entertainer, and I'm not a singer. That's what he would always say, you know. So, yeah, my wife's a singer.
And have you had the chance to talk to Bobby Brown since Whitney died?
I've talked to Bobby last week. Me and my wife were supposed to attend the show this Saturday down in Greensboro. I just tried to call him not too long ago to check on him. But
That's a New Edition concert?
Yeah, the New Edition concert. But I guess I know he's got the funeral and everything. I know he's not going to perform. I don't think he is anyway. I can't speak for him, but I know that Mother's Day, he'll be here May 13th or something like that. So I'll catch up to him then.
Well, let me just finish our conversation by asking you how you're going to remember Whitney Houston.
I'm going to remember her with a loving smile, piercing eyes, beautiful voice, and very, very, very spiritual. She was so spiritual. I mean, it was like an angel, you know. You couldn't get no better than that. I mean, she was just very in tune to you. If she met you, you know, and dealt with you, she was like really, really grounded, you know.
Well, Joe, thanks so much for talking to us today about Whitney Houston. Really appreciate it.
All right. You got it, guy.
Joe Bushfan owns Joe's Diner on Angier Avenue in Durham. He joined us today to remember singer Whitney Houston, who died Saturday at the age of 48. And we're going to go out today listening to another great Whitney Houston song, Greatest Love of All, from 1986. The State of Things is produced by Alex Granados. Megan Modafferi is our intern. Robin Copley is the technical director. The managing editor is Lindsay Foster Thomas. Susan Davis is the senior producer. This is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Isaac Davey Aronson, in for Frank Stacio. Here's Whitney Houston.
Children's laughter remind us how we used to be. God is searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me. Since